Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, bullying. That's B-U-L-L-Y-I-N-G, bullying. It appears to have become fashionable, commonplace, acceptable for some to be a bully. Bullying has had a traumatic impact on many young lives, families, friends, and communities of those who are victimized by a bully. In the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia, a community held a vigil for a 10-year-old who committed suicide by hanging after having, as he said, the worst day of his young life. An 18-year-old fatally shot herself in front of her family at their home in Texas. The family stated she took her life after months of cyberbullying on social media, including fake profiles offering sex. In Winter Haven, Florida, two girls ages 12 and 14 were arrested in the death of a 12-year-old girl who committed suicide after being bullied online for nearly a year. A Delaware teen was killed in a high school bathroom after being assaulted by a group of girls. She died from the attack. Some of the results of that of an autopsy, they're saying that it's not. They said she had a heart condition, but they were skeptical about that and said she may have died from injuries also. But that's beside the point. She was bullied. Stopbullying.com. Bullying definition. Bullying is unwanted, aggressive behavior among school-age children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. Both kids who are bullied and who bully others may have serious lasting problems. So they're saying that you know the person who's being victimized by a bully has problems. So even the bully may have serious problems. In order to be considered bullying, the behavior must be aggressive and include an imbalance of power. Kids who bully use their power, such as physical strength, access to embarrassing information, or popularity to control or harm others. Power imbalances can change over time and in different situations, even if they involve the same people. Repetition. Bullying behaviors happen more than once or have the potential to happen more than once. Bullying includes actions such as making threats, spreading rumors, attacking someone physically or verbally, and excluding someone from a group on purpose. In terms of the 10-year-old youth that was bullied in West Oak Lane in Philadelphia, the students and teachers at the local school had a vigil for the boy. Investigators say he took his own life. Family members say, talk to your kids about bullying and talk to your kids about what's troubling them. His mother says he came from school last Thursday and told her it was the worst day of his life. This is a 10-year-old. Moments later, she found him dead. Investigators say he left a note. Bullying statistics. More than one out of every five, 20.8% of students reporting being bullied from the National Center of Educational Statistics in 2016. The federal government began collecting data on school bullying in 2005 when the prevalence of bullying was around 28%, said the U.S. Department of Education in 2015. Rates of bullying vary across studies from 9% to 98%. The media analyst of 80 studies analyzing bullying involvement rates for both bullying others and being bullied for 12 to 18-year-old students reported a mean prevalence rate of 35% for traditional bullying involvement and 15% for cyberbullying involvement. Says Modetti and Harbaugh and Guerrero and Runyon in 2014. 64% of children who were bullied did not report it. That's a lot. Only 36% reported the bullying. More than half of the bully situations, 55%, stopped when a peer intervened on behalf of the student being bullied, says Hawkins and Peppers in 2001 and Craig in 2001. So school-based bullying prevention programs decrease bullying up to 25%, says McCallum and Edder in 2013. The reasons for being bullied reported most often by students were looks, 55%, body shape, 37%, race, 16%. Says Davies and Nixon in 2010. Effects of bullying. Students who experience bullying are at increased risk for poor school adjustment, sleep difficulties, anxieties, and depression, says the Center for Disease and Control in 2015. That's the CDC. Students who engage in bullying behavior are at risk for academic problems, substance use, and violent behavior later in adolescence and adulthood, says the CDC, also in 2015. So here we have a problem, because you might think that the bully is not being injured, but statistics say this bully is at risk also. And I'm not trying to marginalize what a bully does either. Students who are both targets of bullying and engage in bullying behavior are at greater risk for both mental health and behavior problems than students who only bully or are only bullied, CDC 2015. Students who experience bullying are twice as likely as non-bullied peers to experience negative health effects, such as headaches and stomach aches. So that means that, some of those times that child doesn't want to go to school, their stomach hurting, their head is hurting, you might want to look into what's happening to this child socially. Youth who self-blame and conclude they deserve to be bullied are more likely to face negative outcomes such as depression, prolonged victimization, and maladjustment. So, now that's very interesting right there, that you think that you deserve to be bullied or, whatever. Cyberbullying. Cyberbullying is, for people who don't know, that's somebody making the same type of threat on the computer. It might be Facebook, one of these, Twitter, however, whatever, you know, provider that you they might be using. Amongst high school students, 15.5% are cyberbullied and 20.2% are bullied on school property. That's pretty close. Amongst middle school students, 24% are cyberbullied and 45% are bullied on school property, says the CDC. Again, so there's a lot of physical bullying going on with the middle school students. And I'm hearing that the middle school is a little difficult to engage and control. Anyway, the percentages of individuals who have experienced cyberbullying at some point in their lifetimes have nearly doubled, 18% to 34% from 2007 to 2016. There's from a study in 2016 from Pitching and Duja. So 90% of teens who report being cyberbullied have also been bullied off. Line. Seven fears and sciences of how mobile technologies may be influencing adolescents in the digital age by Mr. George and by George and Odgers in 2015 state. It's a book. So the statistics about bullying of students with disabilities. This is really this is way over the top. Only 10 U.S. studies have been conducted on the connection between bullying and developmental disabilities, but all of these studies found that children with disabilities are 2 and 3 times more likely to be bullied than their non-disabled peers. Now, that's sad. I mean, it's sad to be bullying somebody anyway, but here we have you're bullying a kid that has a disability. Researchers discovered that students with disabilities are more worried about school safety and being injured or harassed by their peers compared to students without a disability. The National Autistic Society reports that 40% of autism and 60% of children with Asperger's syndrome have experienced bullying. When reporting bullying, youth in special education were told not to tattle almost twice as often as youth not in special education, says David Nixon in 2010. And Mr. Axner, how do you stop bullying if somebody is encouraging you not to tell, not to disclose the threat? So what are we waiting for? Are you waiting for somebody to explode? Students with disabilities or special education needs are twice as likely to be identified as bully target and as bullies when compared to peers without disabilities from a study in 2011. Statistics about being bullied of students of color. 27.7 African-American students, 24.7% of African-American students, 17.2% of Hispanic students, and 9% of Asian students report being bullied at school, says the National Center for Educational Statistics in 2015. More than one-third of adolescents reporting bullying report bias based on school bullying. Bias-based bullying is more strongly associated with compromised health than general bullying. Race-related bullying is significantly associated with negative emotional and physical health effects. Statistics about students who identify or are perceived as LGBTQ. 74.1% of the LGBT students were verbally bullied, called names, threatened in the past year because of their sexual orientation. 55.2% because of their gender expression. Says the National School Climate Survey in 2013. 36.2% of the LGBT students were physically bullied, pushed or shoved in the past year because of their sexual orientation. 22.7% because of their gender expression. 49% of the LGBT students expressed cyberbullying in the past year. Peer victimization of all youth was less likely to occur in schools with bullying policies that were inclusive of the LGBTQ students. So it sounds like interventions help. 55% of the LGBT students feel unsafe at school because of their sexual orientation, and 37.8% because of their gender expression. 30%, 23 of the LGBT students missed at least one entire day at school in the last month because they felt unsafe or uncomfortable. 10.6% missed four or more days in the past month. So it sounds like nobody escapes being bullied. So here we go again. We have weight-based bullying. And all you know, sounds like whatever someone can attack you, whatever issue they can attack you on, you can be attacked on. Not that everybody that has this particular issue or identity is going to be attacked, but it opens that's a doorway for people, some people to begin to attack you. Weight-based bullying, 64, there's a lot of them. 64% of students enrolled in weight loss programs reported experiencing weight-based victimization. One-third of the girls and one-fourth of the boys report weight-based teasing from peers. Prevalence rates increased to approximately 60% amongst the heaviest students. That's a lot of people, at least from the survey. 84% of students observed students perceived as overweight being called names or getting teased during physical. So students observed this 84% of the time during the study. Bullying and suicide. Strong association between bullying and suicide-related behaviors, but this relationship is often mediated by other factors, including depression, violent behavior, and substance abuse, says Reed, Nugent, and Cooper in 2015. Students who bully others or bully or witness bullying are more likely to report high levels of suicide-related behavior than students who report no involvement in bullying, says the CDC in 2014. A media analyst found that students facing peer victimization are 2.2 times more likely to have suicide ideation and 2.6 times more likely to attempt suicide than students not facing victimization. Students who are both bullied and engaged in bullying behavior are the highest risk group for adverse outcomes, because you got it coming from both ways. You're being your victim and you're victimizing and other people. So I guess that increases the risk that you're doing. Suicide is not a natural response to being bullied. This myth has the dangerous potential to normalize suicide behavior in response to suicide and thereby create copycat behavior among students. So I just want to say that one more time for those listening. Suicide is not a natural response to being bullied. So, intervention. Bullied youth are most likely to report that actions that access support from others made a positive difference. So bullied youth report that, you know, when they have an intervention, they have a positive outcome. This is from a study in 2010 from Davis and Nixon. Actions aimed at changing the behavior of the bullied youth, fighting, getting back at them, telling them to stop, etc., rated as more likely to make things worse, said Davis and Nixon in their study. Students reported that the most helpful things teachers can do are listen to the student, check in with them afterwards to see if the bullying stops, and give the student advice. So students, teachers, people in authority, follow up. That's basically what it's saying. Listen, have an ear, listen, excuse me, and follow up on the child, see what's going on with them. Don't just, because if you just listen and you don't do anything, that's almost like not listening. So if you listen, you follow up, you know, see what's happening. Students reported that the most harmful things teachers can do are tell the students to solve the problem themselves. You know what can happen there. We all know what happened. You tell, I'm being bullied by somebody, you tell me to solve it myself, now I may become the aggressor. Or I may become depressed because I feel like the people who are in place to make me safe are not making me safe. They don't care about my safety. Therefore, I am unsafe when I'm in school, on my way to school, on my way home from school. So tell the student that the bullying wouldn't happen if they acted differently. Ignore what was going on, or tell the student to stop tattling. So nothing, you know, that's kind of hard for them. You know, why would you tell a student to stop telling when he's telling that somebody's bullying him? So he's supposed to suffer in silence. That's what that sounds like. So, as reported by students who have been bullied, the self-actions that had of the most negative impact, telling the person to stop, how I feel, walking away, pretending it doesn't bother me, are often used by youth and often recommended to youth. So, walking away, you know, and I know it's hard to walk away sometimes from a person that's trying to hurt you. We know that, you know, but these are the first things that you can initially do, because staying invites conflict, more conflict, and eventually physical conflict. Bystanders. Belief in their social self, positivity associated with defending behavior, and negativity associated with passive behavior from bystanders. If students believe they can make a difference, they're most likely to act. So if you see somebody being bullied, if you can intervene without hurting yourself or somebody else, you know, that will work. You know, sometimes, you know, an older student can break up, you know, defuse a bully situation, make somebody feel more comfortable or safer. Even though you're not the police, and you have to be careful with that situation. Students who experience bullying report that align with supportive actions from their peers, such as spending time with the student, talking to him or her, or helping him or her get away, or giving advice, were the most helpful actions from bystanders. That's another intervention. Students who experience bullying are more likely to find peer actions helpful than educator or self action. Okay, so the peer support is very, very important in terms of being bullied. And, you know, hopefully it diffuses the situation. So, from stopbullying.gov, who's at risk of being bullied again? Know this, that there's no single factor puts a child at risk of being bullied or bullying others. Bullying can happen anywhere, city, suburbs, or rural town, depending on the environment. Some groups such as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth with disabilities and socially isolated youth may be at an increased risk of being bullied. So, as far as children who are bullied and the risk, generally, children who are bullied have one or more of the following risk factors: are perceived as different from their peers, such as being overweight or underweight, wearing glasses or different clothing, being new to the school, or being unable to afford what kids consider cool; are perceived as weak or unable to defend themselves; are depressed, anxious, or have low self-esteem; are less popular than others and have few friends; do not get along well with others; seen as annoying or provoking; antagonize others for attention; do not, oh no, I read that. However, if a child has these risk factors, it doesn't mean that they will be bullied. Children more likely to bully others there are two types of kids who are more likely to bully others. Some are well connected to peers, have social power, are overly concerned about their popularity, and like to dominate or be in charge of others. Others are more isolated from their peers and may be depressed or anxious, have low self-esteem, be less involved in school, be easily pressured by peers, or not identify with the emotions or feelings of others. That's almost a sociopath right there. Not identify with the emotions or feelings of others. That sounds like the making of a sociopath. Anyway, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just throwing that out there, what it feels like. Children who have these factors are also more likely to bully others, are aggressive or easily frustrated, have less parental involvement, or having issues at home, think badly of others, have difficulty following rules, view violence in a positive way, have friends who bully others. And I guess that will get you your friends bully. If they're your friends and they're bullies, then that's a good chance you will become a bully. If you do view violence in a positive way, that's the way you handle things. So I guess if you don't like somebody, instead of telling him, staying away from him because you don't like him, you're going to let him know, and you're going to let him know, you know, how it is in school. I'm going to let you know I don't like you, and you're going to let him know what you're going to do to him because you don't like him. I'm going to, you know, some kids like to beat you up just because they don't like you. Every day, then they see there's no consequences, then it becomes the recess game, the after-school game that they play, the going-to-school game that they play, you know, the classroom game that they play, and so forth like that. You become the brunt of some of these kids' attention. Remember, those who bully others do not need to be stronger or bully than those they bully. The power imbalance can come from a number of sources: popularity, strength, cognitive ability. And children who bully may have more than one of these characteristics. So, bullying is a problem that affects millions of students of all races and classes. One out of four kids is bullied, and depending on their age group, up to 43% of students have been bullied while online. So, I want to go to just some quick bully statistics. It sounds like everybody gets bullied. Everybody gets a turnout. Even a bully can get bullied. You know, even a victim can bully. A bully can bully. A bully can be a victim. It's anybody. It sounds like that it's just an open field here, depending on, you know, who it is, who the victim is, and who the perpetrator is. So, 1 out of 4 teens are bullied, 9 out of 10 LGBT students experience harassment, 8% of students stay home on any given day because they're afraid of being bullied. I once knew a kid that I think he had 80 absences, said he was afraid to go to school because a guy pulled a gun on him. I mean, he wasn't a small kid either, but, you know, size didn't have anything to do with a gun. It didn't make you safer or anything like that, but he wouldn't go to school. So 1 out of 5 kids admit to being a bully or doing some bully. 1 out of 5. Okay, that's a large number of kids right there. So 43% feel harassment in the bathroom at school. Everybody know about the bathroom, right? That's usually where you go. Back in the day when I came up, where you go, give out fair ones, catch the person in you don't like, it's a good place to beat them up at, lock the door, hold the door, beat them up. So that's what happens in there. Sometimes, you know, like besides smoking cigarettes and whatever things they might do in the bathroom. But that's one of the places where a lot of fights used to take place at. I'm assuming that still goes on. A poll of teens ages 12 to 17 proved that they think violence increased at their school. You know, I don't know what you think about violence in terms of the communities, but violence in the school comes from children from the community. So it's a violent community coming into the school, it's going to make a violent school. So especially if you don't have things to diffuse, de-escalate the violence. It is, depends on the ratio of people working in the school to address every issue. It's almost impossible to have someone there to watch every kid. So, but here we have, if the violence is increasing in the school, I'm pretty sure violence has increased in the neighborhoods, in the community. So, because it doesn't stay in the school. So, people fight after school, on the way to school, and after school because of things that happen in school or things that happen in the community. Kind of like a, you know, there are 282,000 students are physically attacked in secondary school each month. More youth violence occurs on school grounds as opposed to on the way to school. Okay, so school grounds are a smaller area. On the way to school, you have many routes you can take to school. And 5 minutes, a person, you can miss somebody by 5 minutes. You'll never see them until you get to school where you are in a small area. So that's like the boxing ring. That's like take a bunch of people going to a fight. They might not see each other. Ask them to get into the boxing ring, bam, they're going to bump heads. You're going to see them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he in my class. You know, oh, he in the class next to me. He in the gym class before me. When he come out, I'm going to get him. Stuff like that, you know. So 80% of the time, an argument with a bully will end up in a physical fight. Well, that's a no-brainer. You know, because if a person is now you're challenging a person who's challenging you, and if you're standing up to him, he's standing up to you, the next thing you guys might end up doing is showing why you shouldn't stand up to me. I'm not afraid of you. You can prove that. And I'm going to show you why you shouldn't bully me. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I had bully situations myself. You know, you had to be physical with the bully. And, you know, once I became physical with the bully, never had a problem with the bully again. I mean, the bully was bigger than me at the time, too. And I wasn't the best fighter, but I was able to use violence to keep a bully off of me. So, ended up in a physical fight. And, I'm wondering if it doesn't sound like anyone's advocating that people fight, but I'm wondering if do we see that as an option? Should you defend yourself when being attacked by a bully? So any callers out there, how you feel about that? If your daughter or son being bullied physically by someone, should they defend themselves physically? You hear that? Call in. Tell me what you think about that. 1/3 of students surveyed said they heard another student threaten to kill someone. 2 out of 3 say they know how to make a bomb or know where to get the information to do it. Wow, that's some dangerous kids right there. So, playground statistics. Every 7 minutes, a child is bullied. Adult intervention is 4% peer. Peer intervention is 11%. No intervention is 85%. So, no intervention 85%. You don't have increases the risk. The actual bullying of children. So we need intervention. That's what this basically what I'm getting from here. That everybody's bullied. We need intervention. And the sooner you have interventions, peer intervention works, adult intervention works also. So cyberbullying. Depending on the age group, of the 40% of students have been bullied while online. 1 in 4 have had it happen more than once. 35% of kids have been threatened online. Nearly 1 in 5 have had it happen more than once. 35% of kids have been threatened online nearly, 21% of kids have received mean or threatening email or other messages. 58% of kids admit someone has said something mean or hurtful things to them online. 4 out of 10 say it happened more than once. 53% of them said something, 58% have told their parents or an adult about something mean or hurtful that happened to them online. Some feel that bullying is a normal rite of passage and growing up. Is it? Is it normal to be bullied growing up? I know I had guys, older guys, just to pick with me. I know I was a kid, you know. Guys like to punch on you, stuff like that. You know, I didn't necessarily call it bullying. I actually thought it was like a, you know, like I said, that's growing up. So, you know, That's what we get. That they them guys beat on us as I got bigger, start punching back, and all that stuff. So, but there will always be conflicts between kids. But bullying is intentional cruelty, harassment, and emotional, physical, and sometimes sexual abuse. Well, that's just rape. Okay, we're going to go with this. This behavior can set the tone for a lifetime of intentional cruelty or worse, and the consequences to a victim can seriously affect them for the rest of their lives. So what are we thinking about this bully thing? Every child is not able to adapt and sustain a bully's threats and being physical with them. You know, so I use my own experience, for example. You know, guys, you know, just doing stuff that you don't like, snatching your hat off, older guys, you know, punching on you a little bit, you know, on taking offering you out to fight in the street, you know, you can't beat them, get out there with them anyway, you know. It used to be slap boxing when I was coming up, so it hurts. It's like fighting with your hands open. It's no different. And, you know, what do you say? You know, I'm when I was a kid, I wouldn't tell nobody. I didn't tell nobody anything. I had a big brother because it solved all of that real fast. I handled it myself. And I'm not suggesting that people handle themselves. That's saying that's what happened in my life. You know, that I just dealt with the bully, you know, physically as I grew up. So, you know, guys were, you know, as in terms of being a rite of passage, guys was always testing you to see how good you could fight. So I noticed when you start throwing blows back, when I started throwing blows back and blocking, some, you know, I didn't get that kind of stuff going, that punching on me, that kind of stuff, you know, and the red marks all over me, you know, so that's over. So, you know, what do you think? Is it okay to defend yourself physically? You know, because you got to get to a person in authority in terms of a person beating on you and things like that, trying to harm you. Should your child defend themselves physically against a bully? All the information I'm reading, no one is even saying it, it's suggesting that you defend yourself physically. So while bullying can result in a reluctance to go to school, truancy, headaches and stomach pains, reduced appetite, shame, anxiety, irritability, aggression, and depression are also frequent effects. Bullying is a direct attack on the student's status, sense of belonging, and core identity, and often results in low self-esteem. The effects of bullying often continue many years in adulthood. In the most extreme cases, targets have taken out their anger and despair through school shootings or by committing suicide. So that's very important. I think we had the Columbine shooting. I'm not sure, but I think those guys mentioned that they had been, you know, bullied or harassed by students in school. And I'm not sure, but I think someone said something like that about that. We had a conversation and said those guys had been bullied. For the school, the cost of bullying are countless hours consumed in tackling a problem that is resistant to change. Truancy, reduced student attention, low teacher morale. Bullying is affecting everybody. And so low teacher morale, that's going to affect how your child's educated. The time a teacher or a school staff have to put in educating your child. You see what I'm saying? Low teacher morale. You know, how well is this teacher going to perform throughout the year if their morale is low because of the violence, verbal or physical, in a school? How can your child be educated if your child is not in class? Because your child may go to school, may leave for school, not go to school. Your child may stay at home when you go to work. Your child may cut class in school because he's trying to avoid a bully. And you got the staff tied up with one situation, two situations, three situations, four situations, fifth situations. Now you have a problem because you can't get enough staff over there to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So How do we, what do we do as individuals, families, and as a community to reduce the aggression that apparently comes from maybe some of our families, our communities, that we bring into the school system, that even for teachers, I don't know, there may be some teachers who are bullying also. They may have a history of being bullied. I don't know. They may have some contempt for the population that they're supposed to be servicing and educating. I don't know. For whatever reason, how do we start to turn the wheels, you know, slow the wheels down? How do we bring it to a halt? Because it's very, everyone is suffering for this. The school campus becomes a place where many kids are marginalized and where no one feels safe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, somebody bullying you. Oh, yeah, okay. Go to class, you know. So, but that's not the way it is, because that kid might be seriously injured as a result of that, mentally and or physically. You know, the bully might need some help. So he might need to identify who the bully is, because he might have some other stuff going on, as PV said. He might have some stuff going on that might need to be addressed. Maybe he needs to get some mental health assessment, treatment. Maybe somebody needs to go into the home, see what's happening in the home, that the kids coming to school being aggressive toward other children, you know. And we need intervention. But we need enough people to intervene. So we need everybody to participate in an intervention. And individuals who are being victims, if you feel like you want to bully somebody, think about it. Think about how you may impact on that person, how being a bully is going to impact on your life. Think about why you're even doing this. You know, think before you act. So schools are increasingly sued for failing to provide a safe learning environment and are held liable for the harassment, violence, and suicide caused by bullying. Now, that's cost taxpayers. That's hitting everybody. So this is not a small thing. This is not like a rite of passage kind of like thing. This thing is huge, because a lawsuit, that's another level right there. And I'm not saying that should be your motivation. Money. The safety of our children, of our professionals, of our peace of mind of the parents, the safety of the parents, because sometimes parents get involved in conflicts that children get into in school, and then they come to the school, and now you have a parent who's looking at the school and very irate, you know, maybe ready to fight some school staff, maybe ready to beat up on a kid. Then you have another parent ready to fight that parent who's ready to beat up on their kid. And now you got something really bad going on here, because now you got an adult situation. So, or God forbid the big brother or sister comes up there with whatever thing they do in the community. You understand what I'm saying? Depending on who they are, it might be. You know, it could get pretty crazy. So we need to first stop before we act. So what do you think? How do you defend yourself? How do we as a community defend ourselves against bullying behavior? How do we get the idea, the concept that it's not acceptable across to individuals who have found it to be an acceptable culture, and probably may come from or develop a subculture that bullying is okay, that says, oh, bullying is all right. You somebody, if you're able to do that to somebody, you know, because that might be somebody's way of achieving power. If I'm failing in school, I could pick on the smart kid. Okay, he's top of the line in school, but nothing to me. Watch me take his lunch money every day. If he don't handle lunch money, I'm gonna take something from him. I'm gonna scare him. I'm gonna put fear in his heart. I'm somebody. You understand? So I don't know, because that could be, that shows that the perpetrator, the bully, has some issues, as we talked about, some esteem issues. So we have to find a way to reach out for our children. So what do you think? People who are thinking about suicide should talk to someone right away or go to an emergency room. They can also call a free suicide hotline such as 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. Again, people who are thinking about suicide should talk to someone right away or go to an emergency room. They can also call the free suicide hotline such as 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. So, because bullying has been associated with suicide. Suicide is the third leading cause of death amongst young people, resulting in about 4,400 deaths per year, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. For every suicide amongst young people, there are at least 100 suicide attempts. Over 40% of high school students have considered suicide, and almost 7% have attempted it. Bully victims are between 2 to 9 times more likely to consider suicide than non-victims, according to studies by the Yale University. A study in Britain found that at least half of suicides amongst young people are related to bullying. 10 to 14-year-old girls may be at an even higher risk of suicide, according to the study at the Yale University. According to statistics reported by NBC News, nearly 30% of students are either bullies or victims of bullying, and 160,000 kids stay at home from school every day because of fear of bullying. And that's a problem because you need education. Education helps you get job training because they actually have that you have a high school diploma. So this is going to impact on the community at large and in the future. No education, you're going to get a menial job. You're not making as much money as you want would like and enough to pay for an apartment, support your children, your family, because you're going to have those things probably. And so you may resort to other methods to earning money. So some of the warning signs of suicide include signs of depression like ongoing sadness, withdrawal from others, losing interest in favorite activities or trouble sleeping or eating, talking about or showing an interest in death or dying, engaging in dangerous or harmful activities including reckless behavior, substance abuse or self-injury, giving away favorite possessions, saying goodbye to people, saying or expressing that they can't handle things anymore, making comments that things would be better without them. Other ways to help people who may be considering suicide include take all talk or threats of suicide seriously. Don't tell the person they are wrong or that they have a lot to live for. Instead, get them immediate medical help. They go to the crisis center, right? Call somebody, call a mobile crisis unit or take them to the crisis center, okay? Keep weapons and medications away from anyone who's at risk of suicide, okay? Parents should encourage teens to talk about bullying that take place. It may be embarrassing for kids, which it is for some, to admit that they are victims of bullying. And most kids don't want to admit they have been involved in bullying. It's a good idea for parents to insist on being included in their children's friend and social networks. So keep a close eye on how they interact with others. Parents who see a serious bullying problem should talk to school authorities about it, not beat them up, and perhaps arrange a meeting with the bully's parents. So have a sit down, right? Powwow. Try to work this thing out with all parties involved. Again, anybody can call a free suicide hotline such as 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255. When the bullying, killing teen finally snapped. Why the bullying, killing teen finally stopped? Snap. This is a story about why a bully died. So, I think this happened in New York. all of his team. He said he was beaten and mocked and tormented by classmates. He begged to escape his middle school nightmare, and he felt only one way out. The bully Bronx team told his family, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I can't. I can feel it," and begged them to get him out of his IS 117. That's his school, I guess. Sources told the Post, the newspaper. He told his father, "I don't want to go back to school because they're going to kill me." His father said, "Don't worry." His father went to school on Tuesday and spoke to the principal and told him everything that was going on. What was going on was a campaign of bullying by neighborhood kids led by a guy who was a friend of his. Apparently, this guy had loaned him a phone, and his mother took the phone and threw it down at the trash chute or something. I don't know. His mom must have some mental health, because she thought that the police could track her with the phone, which is odd in itself. So, you know, they were calling his mom a whore. And then what happened with this? I'm skipping because I don't have a lot of time to just go through the whole story. So they were harassing him constantly after school. This guy used to be his friend. I don't know how close of a friend they were, because just turned on him like that. And they had to be friends. He let him hold his cell phone, so they must have had some relationship. I don't understand why you let somebody hold your cell phone, because you know you would need that to get your call. So if I can't let somebody hold my cell phone, and because I need to get called, so I don't understand that. But because he must have had it for a long period, overnight or something, I don't understand it. Or maybe long enough for his mom to get a hold of it. He must have had some problems. Anyway, they said they were good friends, but it changed when Timothy actually used his phone, and he admitted his mom had found it and thrown it down the garbage chute, which is law. I don't understand that. It was constant bullying for 3 months this guy went through. His friend and his friend's friends, I guess, the support of some peers, constantly bullied this guy. So one day this guy saw him coming out of school. He's coming out of the school, and this guy posted him, you know, and punched him in the face. So what happened again after the result of that, this guy pulled out a knife and, you know, he murdered this guy, you know. This guy who had once a friend, had loaned him a phone, and his mother threw down a trash chute because she had some apparent mental health / maybe criminal kind of like activity in her life. I don't know. So, but this guy turned against him. They were doing things like urinating on his apartment door, you know, calling him names, calling his mom names. And it's 3 months of all of that. That's a lot. You know, and this guy, I think at one point he took a pipe to school for protection. And this one particular day, he took a knife to school. You know, school was contacted. No intervention. You know, and he killed this guy. He killed this one friend of his who was harassing him about the cell phone. The victim, not the kid that was murdered, the victim of the bullying, had also attempted to hang himself after his brother's death a year before this incident. So his father found him hanging, you know, from the closet, you know. So it's going on that we can't intervene. That we're not making appropriate interventions, for our children and for both of them. Because if we could have saved the life, there's a guy that's dead, and we have another kid that's facing a jail time, and also the fact that he murdered someone, because that's not an easy thing. So, what is it about us that we are not making these appropriate interventions? And in this case right here, you know, it's not like everybody was told. The police say the bully was the aggressor. And, you know, he had been threatening his kid for 3 months. And then time came. You know, the guy said he was hitting him with his fist. And he stabbed him 4 or 5 times. You know, not even once. So they sought, he and his mother sought various ways through the school system and police department to stop this, but nobody would help. So, and all this started over a cell phone. Or is it more to it than that? I don't know. But how do we intervene with these types of situations? Philadelphia School District Bully Hotline is 215-400-7233. Hotline from the Mental Health Association of New York. Hotline number is 212-709-3222. Help Me Hotline, 1-855-201-2121. Day Kindness Challenge in California, 831-818-2971. These are hotlines for bullying. LA Youth Network, 800-843-5200. Pacer Center's Team Against Bullying. Stop Bullying. You can go to http://stopbullying.gov. Positive Results Corporation, Los Angeles, California, 323-787-9252. 310-671-5863. So, schools don't make bullies. Families, peers, communities, and cultures do. If we do nothing to keep our communities, schools safe, we perpetuate the bully culture. If it is unacceptable behavior, treat it as so. Stop the bully. Don't let the bully stop you. I want to thank everybody for listening in. We have about a minute and a half. I want to thank Mr. Jones for allowing me to host this show. And I want to repeat to my listening audience, talk with your children, check their attendance, look at some of the things that they're, you know, that they're close to. Look at their peers. Look at some of the things they watch on the internet or Twitter, whatever it is, they're on Facebook. Just take a little peek at it, you know, actually, you know, share, you know, being more involved in their life, because you may be able to intervene or save a life, as in this case with this kid in New York, a life was taken, and somebody's life was made of, had a life of 3 months of torment, you know, about a cell phone or whatever. It's a situation that should have been diffused at some point, but to some extent, not to go to the as far as this guy fearing for his life, going to school, and this is a guy that he knows. This is not even strange. It's not even like you from another neighborhood. We're going to get you. This is a guy he knows personally, and it got to the point where he was so afraid of him, he killed him. So tormented that he killed him. So I want to say thank you, all my listeners, and please, everyone, talk to your children about, you know, bullying, being a bully, and being bullied. Thank you very much. I need my theme music. All right, we done.